So this is reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto. Prabhupada discusses the prayer Sukadeva Goswami is offering obeisances to the Lord in this second canto, chapter 4. So Prabhupada in his purport discusses about preaching ability, how the preaching ability comes from Krishna. I mean, every ability comes from Krishna. Krishna says that I'm the intelligence of the intelligent, strength of the strong, ability in man, Purusham Nishu. But here, this Sukadeva Goswami is, of course, about to embark on a 7-day saptaha, preaching to Parikshit Maharaj. It's an interesting point about saptaha, because saptaha, it was 7 days. I heard some acharyas saying that 7 days represents the whole life, because our life is only goes in a series of 7-day periods. You know, all our life is made of 7 days, and it becomes weeks. Become, you know, our life is measured in weeks. So 7 days is a full measure, full part of life. 7 days. That's why he didn't speak 6 or 5 or 9, because seven days, so it represents the whole life. So him speaking for 7 days, because that's all he had for his life, and that's all any of us have. Any of us only have, our life is measured in 7 days, Sunday through to Saturday. And a series of 7 days makes a month, and then a year, and then it's all strings of, it's all just 7-day strings. So he's saying that 7 days represents, this commentary was saying that 7 days, was that's all life he had was 7 days, and that's all life anyone has. Then he said, therefore, one should hear the Bhagavatam all the time. In other words, Parikshit heard and spent his whole life, he spent his whole life hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because his whole life was 7 days. Mm-hmm. So we should hear the Bhagavatam our whole life, yeah, day and night. That's a side point. So before he begins to reply to the questions, of course, that are being asked by Parikshit Maharaj, he remembers the Lord, the Creator, reciprocates with everyone's desires. So as a great devotee, Sukadeva is showing his own humility, that he has no ability to independently answer the king's questions, King Parikshit. Therefore he remembers Rishikesh, the master of the senses, and he prays for the ability to properly reply. So this is the all devotees are coming in the parampara of Sukadeva Goswami and Narada Muni and Sukadeva. Our Guru Parampara, we also have to preach in different circumstances. So we should always feel dependent on the Lord. This is one of the symptoms of Sharanagati. Depending on the Lord. Karpanye. Always depend on humility. So we pray to the Lord before we give class. We have that shloka, mukam kuroti vachanam pangam langai tegrim yakripatam hamvade sri gurum dinataranam paramanamanam. Mukam kuroti vachanam. Mukam kuroti vachanam. Which means, give me some words, O Gurudev, give me some mukam kuroti vachanam. Make the words come out of my mouth. Because you can do anything. Mukam kuroti vachanam pangam langai tegrim. Is that it? So even a pungal or a layman, by your mercy, can cross the Giri, he can cross the mountains. So this mode is always the mode, because this is the mode of prema. Prema is full of humility. Humility is the basis of prema, and prema stands on the legs of humility. So Prabhupada, in his purport to text 11, he says that a pure devotee's mood, he explains the mood of a pure devotee as he remembers the Lord. When devotees of the Lord are delivering speeches describing the transcendental attributes of Krishna, they don't think they can do anything independently. They think they can only speak if they're induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the Master of the Senses. No one is free to act freely and independently. One should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. And by the blessings of the Lord, everything is done by a devotee. If someone may wonder how it's done, because devotees do so many amazing things, miraculous achievements that seem way beyond the ordinary capacity of human beings in some cases. So Prabhupada purport explains that by this process, the devotees become beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned soul. Because the infinite Lord, he reciprocates with his loving servitors, so he gives them infinite power. And ordinarily, we have four defects. Conditioned souls, we have imperfect senses, and we're subject to illusion. We could commit mistakes, and a cheating propensity. Because our inefficient organs of perception, they cheat us. Even they have a conception, an idea called self-deception. We deceive ourselves. So this point is further discussed further on here about this dependence on the Lord. The humbleness of the pure devotee who is 100% engaged in his service puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything. Because to the sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. At first, right? Tesham, sadhata, no, yeah, Tesham. The Dhammi Buddhi. Krishna says, the Dhammi Buddhi, I give intelligence. Of course, Prabhupada mentions in his purport that even non-devotees are getting intelligence from Krishna. How to make a liquor shop, how to make a machine to make booze or cigarettes, or how to package cigarettes. So that intelligence to make that machine comes from Krishna. But that takes them to hell. But they want that, so Krishna facilitates them. So here again, in this verse 11, or rather in 22, Shukadeva again is praying to the Lord that he may be pleased with him. So he says, "Oh my dear Lord, you inspired knowledge within the heart of Brahma. So you empowered his words. So you are the super soul in my heart, so please empower my words." This is very nice. Tene rida yadadi kaviye. So tene rida yadadi kaviye. So tene rida. The Krishna is in the heart. Well, Krishna, you're also in my heart. Now somehow you brought me here to speak. So please empower me to say something for your happiness and to glorify you. As people gathered here to hear something, so please utilize me for your purposes as an instrument, nimitta matram, in your hands. So, Shukadeva is praying to Lord Krishna by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Parikshit. So this is in 4th chapter of Canto 2. From its purport, because Parikshit's asking about creation. How does this creation take place, and how does the Lord engage in this creation? That's a big subject. It's hard to tackle. And Shukadeva Goswami is praying for the inspiration and guidance to answer properly. The Prabhupada goes on in text 23. As a fully dependent devotee, unlike a mundane man who is proud of his own capability, Shukadeva Goswami invokes the pleasure of Krishna so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. So this is a very nice phrase Prabhupada is using, that invoke the pleasure. Shukadeva Goswami is trying to invoke the pleasure. So, my Lord, please accept me, and I want these devotees to appreciate you more by hearing my Harikatha. People should become more attached to you and more interested in you. And this is the mood of the speaker. It says, be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as instrumental for anything successfully carried out. So these phrases are very good reminders, because the tendency of this material energy is that we often think that we're the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha hankara iti vimudatma kartamati manitek. Because these gunas are always acting, they never sleep. Prakriti Kriyamani, Gunani Karma, this Guna Karma. These gunas are always revolving, they're always moving. Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun, they never stop, they never let go. They never stop their influence, they never stop pushing. So even for some time we think we're not the doer, we're just an instrument, and then that mode changes, and then we think, oh, I am the doer, I did it, I'm so great, I accomplished this or that. So to hear these words, that devotees always think of himself as an instrument for anything successfully carried out. He declines to take credit for anything done by himself. I remember when we would take Mahaprasadam and Krishna Balamandir with Bhuvaneshwar, and sometimes he cooks lunch offering, or sometimes other devotees can help him or cook different things or whatever. He's not really sure who's cooking everything. So then if I'm taking some, honoring some prasad, I say, did you cook this? Was this cooked by you or is it the other boy or whatever? He said, no, I didn't cook that. I said, who cooked it? He said, Radharani cooked it. So this is the right idea. Radharani is cooking for Krishna, and anything comes through her hands is going to be perfect. And if we can be a servant of the servant of the servant of Radharani's Saki Dasi's Manjari's, then that be our perfection. All credit, all rights reserved for Radharani. Copyright Radharani, all credit to her. Photo credits, Radharani. Cooking credits, Radharani. Dancing credits, Radharani. Singing credits, Radharani. Speaking credits, Radharani. Everything's Radharani's. So that's why our perfection is to be assistants to Radharani and her service. That would be our perfection, have some connection with her down mind, so to speak. Down the Rupanugadara, yeah. The line of servants coming from Rupa Manjari. But the godless atheist wants to take all credit for activities, not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord, who inspired Brahma to speak Vedic wisdom. Shukadeva prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom he would like to speak. That's very interesting. So he's saying, oh my dear Lord, he's praying, the ideal preacher. This is the topic here, is preaching. Preaching ability comes from Krishna. And so Shukadeva Goswami is the ideal preacher. So he's praying for the ability to preach. And he's praying that the hearers will have, the listeners will have the ability to hear. They'll be able to hear without distraction and disruption. Devotees don't view themselves as the doer, nor do they desire credit for whatever they have accomplished. Rather, they desire to act as Krishna's instruments, and they pray to be effectively used by him like tools in the hands of an expert carpenter. Thus, Shukadeva Goswami's prayers express his desire that the Lord be pleased to use him to answer Maharaja's Pariksit's questions. Shukadeva then begs for his spiritual master's blessings because he wishes to respond to Maharaj Pariksit based on what he has heard in the disciplic succession. So this is the correct procedure. So then, after petitioning the Lord and praying to the Lord, then he prays to his guru, who is also his father, in text 24. And we offer this similar prayer. We say, what is it? Say, Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatoje Madhire. We offer obeisances to the Super Soul, Lord Narayan, the incarnation of Lord Narayan, the Veda Vyas. Then we offer to Saraswati Devi, like this. Now Shukadeva Goswami is begging his spiritual master for mercy before he speaks. So this is the mood of a disciple. Everyone is under authority. Anugatya. Everyone is anugatya. Anugata, everyone's following a superior. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalya Das 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 and Das. So this is the idea that we have to remind ourselves over and over again that he's the doer, and everything we're doing is for him, by him, of him, and for him. That I'm simply his instrument. I'm part and parcel of the Lord, and he's moving me according to his will. He's using me according to his will. As long as we're doing his will, not our will. When we're doing our will, he's also moving us. The super soul is also moving us, but in the wrong direction. So there's a similar idea further on in this discussion where it describes that actually the empowerment to do anything is coming from God. There's a similar idea. This is in Brahma's describing the Lord, because Brahma himself, of course, was empowered. And this is in verse, Canto 2, chapter 5, verse 17. Brahma said, inspired by Lord Vishnu only, I discover what is already created by him, Narayan, under his vision as the all-pervading Supersoul, and also I am created by him only. This is a nice, Brahma is the actual proper scientist. And we have Discovery Channel, some TV channel where everybody sees all scientific things. They even have a magazine maybe like that, I don't know.
National Geographic.
Yeah, I think there's Discovery Magazine, it's possible. So they find this or that, and they immediately lay claim to it. Or they discover something in physics. They discover something. It's already existing. It's already been done. But as soon as they discover it, they put their name on it. There was one German physicist examining the atom and the motion of atomic particles. And then he was seeing what is a wave and what is a particle. At the atomic level, things are moving so fast, and when you look at it, it looks like a solid particle. But it's moving, it's like a wave. And he said, well, it's not a wave, because it has some of the characteristics of a solid particle, but it's also acting like a wave. So it's not a wave, it's not a particle, it's a wavicle. So he called it a wavicle. And then he developed a principle to describe this phenomenon. It's called Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Because as soon as you look at some object at the atomic level, and then you say it's here, but then you can't be certain it's there because it's moving so fast that when you say it's here, it's already gone somewhere else. Now you see it, now you don't. So that uncertainty principle, the calculation of atomic motion and atomic particles is not, in other words, he doesn't know.
Exactly.
It's a scientist's way of saying, I don't really know. Can you imagine? The principle is called the uncertainty principle. It's in all physics books and chemistry books and science books. It was discovered in 1957 or something like this. Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Well, that principle sums up all of modern science. Because everything they say is uncertain because it's certain today, but it certainly may change tomorrow, or it certainly will. So even if something is certain or uncertain, it'll change tomorrow. That's why Prabhupada said it's not really science. Science means it exists forever. It's true today, it was true yesterday, and it'll be true tomorrow and forever. So the truth is, people die. People are born and die. Right? So this is, and the truth is that God is the truth, the absolute truth, and we're meant to serve him. So we're discussing about preaching and how the devotee feels dependent on the Lord and feels himself to be an instrument of the Lord. And he's praying to the Lord for the ability to speak, and he's also praying that the hearers will understand what I'm saying. Maybe he's even praying that they'll stay awake. It's a Bhagavatam class. Oh, my Lord, please keep the hearers, may the listeners of this class stay awake and hear my divine message that you're giving me to give to them, deliver to them. But then this is further discussion, how that the devotee works under the inspiration of the Lord. Inspiration. So Prabhupada explains in his purport that Brahma himself is acting according to the Lord's inspiration, according to Lord Narayana's desire. So the Lord inspires the individual soul to create what is already created by the Lord. And by the goodwill of the Lord, a discoverer of something in the world is accredited as a discoverer. So America was already there. And I guess Krishna wanted it discovered so that Prabhupada could go there and start ISKCON. So then he inspired Columbus, Christopher Columbus, Columbus. He went over there to discover that country for Krishna. Christopher Columbus. So Prabhupada says that. It is said that Columbus discovered the Western Hemisphere, but actually, the tract of land was not created by Columbus. The vast tract of land was already there by the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord. And Columbus, by dint of his past service unto the Lord, was blessed with the credit of discovering America. No one can create anything without the sanction of the Lord, since everyone sees according to his ability. This ability is also awarded by the Lord according to one's willingness to render service unto the Lord. One must therefore be voluntarily willing to render service unto the Lord, and thus the Lord will empower the doer in proportion to his surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So we can see that Prabhupada was duly empowered. His empowerment was direct line to Nityananda, Nityapada Kamalam. So therefore, his beloved Shiksha Guru and Godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, he commented, which no one else ventured forth to say, but he said, indeed, your Guru Maharaj, Swami Maharaj, as he would call him, Swami Maharaj, your Srila Prabhupada was the Shakti Vesh avatar of Nityananda. Nityananda Vesh. He was empowered by Nityananda. So that's, and feeling that indebtedness. He installed Nitai all around the world. And Nitai is always a Gaura because he's always in Sevananda. He's always absorbed in bliss of service to his brother, to his Krishna as Balaram or Natashesh, Sheshnag, and to Gauranga as Nitai. So initially when Prabhupada started preaching in India, he followed the line of his guru, Bhakti Sunanta Saraswati, and installed Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna Yuga, Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He began his preaching campaign in an organized way in Jhansi. He incorporated League of Devotees, and the founding deity of that League of Devotees was Mahaprabhu. Because this is the deity that was installed everywhere by his Guru Maharaj. And all the Gaudiya Math preachers everywhere, they would install Radha Krishna Mahaprabhu. Of course, we sing bhajans in Nittai and we pray to him and we preach the glories of Namhat and try to establish Namhats everywhere in India under the order of Nittai and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's guidance, design. But nevertheless, as far as temples go, everywhere Mahaprabhu. So every disciple of Bhakti Santa Saraswati, they would do the same. So now, when Prabhupada went to America, he thought, oh my God. In India, people are somewhat civilized. Not very much, but somewhat. And there's some kind of culture here, but not much. And they're somewhat receptive to the idea of Gauranga, Yuga Kishore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna Yuga. But when he got to New York, he said, oh my God. Jagai and Madai have reappeared here. Yeah. Entire Sampradaya is here. The whole country full of Jagais and Madais. And even he saw there was one cartoon called Jughead. Archie and Jughead. So Jughead is Jagai and Madai. So the whole place was really, everybody was drunk. Everybody was womanizing. Everyone was breaking all the principles. So he thought, my God, everybody's a Jagai and Madai. In India, it's only a handful. Then, now they've expanded. Jagais and Madais are leading every city of India now. So therefore, he invoked the mercy of Nittai. He started installing Gornita everywhere. And now the followers of Srila Prabhupada, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they're following his example. So most all of his disciples, they worship Gornita. You see most of the sannyasis, leading sannyasi gurus in ISKCON, they're very lovingly worshipping their Nittai Gaurasundara or Nittai Padakamalam or whatever they call their beloved Ishtadev. Following Prabhupada's example, they're also traveling around the world preaching and they're worshipping their Gornitai and encouraging their followers to worship Gornitai. So therefore, it was easy to understand that Prabhupada was a Shakti Vesh avatar. So he did so much because it says you get empowered according to the degree of your surrender. Surrender more, empowered more. Recently, some students were here and they said, oh, please give us some instructions. We're going back to Bombay. Please give us some instructions so we can advance. And I said, well, wait a minute. What about the ones I already gave you? You already passed those. You're already following all those. You're getting up every day at 4 o'clock without fail. Oh, well, you know, it's a little tough. You're reading Bhagavatam every day. There's so many instructions, basics. I mean, we have to become nishtha and bhakti. Prabhupada says nectar instruction in purport. He said, all members of the Krishna conscious movement must rise by 4 a.m. So Krishna conscious movement means anyone who's conscious and moving towards Krishna. Anyone who's conscious and moving towards Krishna, he's in the Krishna conscious movement. Many people are conscious and they're not moving anywhere towards Krishna, not even one step. At least if we take one step, Krishna can take 10 steps towards us, as Prabhupada said. If you just take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards you. Now what does that mean? That means he goes by you then? Because if you go one, and then he's only one step away, then he goes 10, that means he goes by you for 9 steps. He passes you. Now the idea is that he's quite far away. If you take one, then he'll start to take some towards you. And it's a very nice Prabhupada's purport. He's saying that Krishna is the first seer, then we see second. Krishna creates everything and discovers everything, then we rediscover it. Then we put our name on it. We don't put Krishna's name on it. When Columbus discovered America, he didn't call it Krishna land. He called it Columbia, actually. It was called Columbia. The original name of America was called Columbia. And then later it became... Well, because it's even called America, because Columbus... He came to Florida, wherever he came. But actually before him, there was an Italian guy, an Italian sailor named Amerigo Vespucci. He was some kind of ravioli factory or something. Amerigo Vespucci. So the country was actually named after Amerigo. It's called America. Whereas in India, they say America. They say America. America. That where you go there and never die. Oh. Amar. Amari ka. That means you die or you don't die? Amari.
Amar is eternal.
So amari ka means you do the eternal thing there. Mm-hmm. Amari ka. Amar. Amar loka. So people have that idea that if you get to America, you're in the spiritual world. You never die. So Krishna awards ability according to one's willingness to surrender and render service to the Lord. One must therefore be voluntarily willing to render service unto the Lord, and then the Lord will empower the doer in proportion to his surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotees like Lord Brahma and Arjuna do not do anything on their own account, but as fully surrendered souls, they always await indications from the Lord. They attempt to do something which appears very wonderful to ordinary vision, because the indication is coming from the Lord. One of the Lord's names is Urukram, whose actions are very wonderful and beyond the imagination of the living being. So the actions of Urukram's devotees, or Krishna's devotees, sometimes appear very wonderful due to the direction of the Lord. So in Prabhupada's purport here to verse 17, chapter 5, he's indicating his own biography. It's kind of like his diary. To the ordinary vision, such actions must seem very wonderful. That an old man with 40 rupees can cross the ocean and come to America and start an international society and end up within a few years printing millions of books. That appears very wonderful. All the actions are done by the Lord, Lord's grace, because of the surrender. And we see that even in modern-day ISKCON, that devotees and leaders and preachers of ISKCON, the sannyasis, there's so much, doing so much wonderful work here and there, establishing temples and farm projects and printing books and doing a lot of seva, because they're so surrendered. They're surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord's empowering them. You can see some phenomenal things, how someone can go to Delhi and build a 30 crore temple. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that's not an easy thing. Get a group of, collect a group of followers and inspire them for 10 years. It took 10 years. It wasn't done overnight. 10-year project to get the sufficient money, and always short of money. Oh, he was always coming there. We need more and more and more and more. Now we finished, they would have different drives. Okay, now we finished the temple. Now we have to finish the guest house. Then they finished the guest house. Now we have to finish the museum. Now we have to buy the robots. There's endless collections. So Krishna is in everyone's heart. Sarvabhuta Antaratmana. He directs everything for one who is a soul surrendered unto him. Those who are not surrendered souls are put under the care of the material nature. So either you surrender unto Krishna and do phenomenal things, or you don't surrender to Krishna, then you're surrendered unto Maya and do nothing. So that if you don't surrender to Krishna, then you can do things on your own account, suffer the consequences. Rather than remaining under the care of material nature, devotees depend on the superior strength and vision of Krishna. For example, a young boy tries to lift a heavy weight. His father assists the boy's attempt, and his adult strength makes him the actual lifter. Similarly, a devotee's attempt to please Krishna is like the attempt of a child to lift a weight. This inspires Krishna to complete the task. It's a very nice thing. Devotee or a child goes over to lift some weight. Oh, I have to carry this. And he said, what are you trying to do? I want to move this over here. Oh, I'll help you. So the boy's holding on to the big rock or whatever. And the father lifts his arms, like right next to his or under his. Right. Okay, and he says, okay, lift. And then the boy says, oh, I'm trying. Come on, lift more. And then the father lifts. And although the father's actually carrying it, the boy's also holding onto the rock. And they move it to another place. And then, okay, we'll work together. You know, I'll help you. It's okay, Dad. Then he's lifting it, and then the father's lifting it, and then they move it over. Oh, very good. Oh, thanks a lot. I'm glad you helped me. But the child's thinking, oh, I did this. My father gave me a little help. Actually, I did it. That's what the child will think. But the devotee will think, well, I tried to do this, but Krishna did it, everything. I lifted my finger, but then I lifted up the pen, and then Krishna moved it to write the book. Right. Krishna wrote the book. I lifted the pen, but he gave me the energy to lift the pen, because he could paralyze my fingers and I couldn't lift it. And then Krishna wrote the book. Similarly, a devotee's attempt to please Krishna, like the attempt of a child to lift a weight, inspires Krishna to complete the task. Thus, the ultimate doer is Krishna. Because devotees desire to please Krishna, acting only for his pleasure, they can accomplish wonders. This is Prabhupada's purport. And he certainly is an example of someone who accomplished wonders. A miracle worker. What Prabhupada did. Does anybody have any discussion on this?
Oh, yes, Thomas. I was reading Bhaktiraksha Sridhar Maharaj's book, Divine Angels, and over there in a lecture he mentions that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered him to go to the West. And he said he didn't know how to say no to his guru, but he went and told him that I just want to be a simple devotee of Mahaprabhu, and I don't understand the Western
accent.
And
moreover, I'm not inclined, because I heard just his words on the tape, exactly he was speaking. I'm not inclined to mix with these type of people. He's a Brahmin from birth.
If you say so, I must do it. Please tell me what to do. He didn't exactly say no, but he just expressed his whatever that was. So,
inability.
So how do we look at this? Because
so then, is that all it says in the lecture? Anything more is told? What you're reading, anything more is told?
No, that was it.
Because I heard the conversation.
Right.
Maybe that thing is derived from that. I mean, I have it on the tape. And many times he's glorifying Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sridhar Maharaj is glorifying him and what he accomplished and how he went to the West and did do that. And then he kind of puts himself down, or not puts himself down, but just in a very humble way says, I was not able to do that. Although our Guru Maharaj wanted all of us to go. But my Guru Maharaj, he called me a comfort, ease lover. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he called me an ease lover. Because when he asked me to go, then I had to think. I thought about it. Because actually, personally, I was more interested in personal development. I like very much reading the scriptures and understanding the verses from different angles of vision and studying the commentaries and deeply poring over the Bhagavatam and also writing my own Sanskrit shlokas and things. He was more of a you could say, pundit type, not so much outward preacher type. So he said, I rather like that. That was my nature was that, just to study myself and go deeply into the scriptures, which is quite evident when you hear his commentaries, and Prabhupada used to appreciate his discussions. So when my Guru Maharaj asked me, then I had to think, and then I went to him and I said, well, I don't really so much follow their accent and their dialect, although I know some English, and my nature is not to mix up with them. So my Guru Maharaj, he understood my nature, so he allowed me to preach, and he engaged me in preaching in India. So, but he was always, he would always refer to me, oh, Sridhar Maharaj, he's an ease lover. Whenever it will often come up in conversations, oh, he's an ease lover. He doesn't like to go to the West. But it wasn't that he didn't like to preach. I mean, he opened the Bombay Gaudiya Math, he opened the Madras Gaudiya Math, he opened the many, many Gaudiya Maths, and he did a lot of preaching in India on behalf of the mission. Outward, full on organizing pandals, and even some conversations. He says, yes, Guru Maharaj sent me to Kumbh Mela to organize our pandal. Guru Maharaj sent me to Braj Mandal to organize the Prikama. And he was quite active. But it's kind of his own humility that he was saying, I was an ease lover. He was a very, very active and productive preacher. You read in our Leelamrita about Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, how in Bombay and Allahabad, Sridhar Maharaj came to open a center, then he asked Gaubai to help him enlist members. He was living upstairs, and in Bombay, so he was obviously quite active in the preaching field in India, but he wasn't able to take up the mission to go to the West like Ban Maharaj and other Sannyas God brothers. So what's your question?
The question was that even he's a surrendered soul, such a great soul.
Yes.
And what you were mentioning was the greater the surrender, the greater the power.
Yes.
So how are you supposed to understand that? I mean, should we differentiate or we should not?
Well, I guess the surrender is, I mean, it's the quality, and I mean, in other words, his guru, because his guru, in other words, the conversation is like this. He said to his guru, he said, well, he said, my nature is like this. This is how the conversation, I don't know about the book. But I'm recalling, he said, Guru Maharaj, if you want me to go, then I have to go. I'll go. But my nature is like this. So considering my nature, my Guru Maharaj said, oh yes, I can understand you're an ease lover. So you just preach in India. So therefore, the guru was requesting him to surrender on a certain level. But it's not that preaching in India is less of a surrender. It's not that he's saying, I'm not going to preach, I'm not going to do this service. But it's reciprocal. The disciple is not a machine. He's also a person. And maybe it doesn't mean that he's less surrendered if he doesn't go to America.
Yes.
I wouldn't try to equate that.
Yes.
Because he's actually admitting it's not my nature. So the guru generally tries to engage the disciple according to his nature. And there's some give and take. even on the level of Raghunuga Bhakti, that when the guru may give an identity for the disciple to meditate on, in the Siddha Pranali, sometimes the disciple says, some things don't fit, the service you've given me doesn't feel, I don't feel comfortable, can you give me a different service? And they'll even modify that at the level of Siddha Pranali, there's some modification. So there's definitely interaction. You see in Jiva Dharma that the guru is asking the disciples, well, what is your inclination? Yeah. And even it says further that when one goes further in bhakti and comes to ruchi and asakti, then the guru says, what is your idea? How would you like to serve Radha and Krishna if you're interested in the sthayi bhava, madhura rati, and you're interested in the services of rupa mandri or rati mandri? Then how would you like to serve? And then there's some interaction, some dialogue. So then considering the feedback or response that the guru gets from the disciple, then he may modify the dictum or may modify the order that he gives to the disciple, which he did. He said, all right, you preach in India then. I'll engage you in India. So he was surrendered. So how do we measure the extent of his surrender and how do we measure how much he's empowered? Even he said, in that same line, he said, my Guru Maharaj wanted me to go and preach in the Western countries, so I see that his will is being fulfilled because all of you are coming here in my old age, because he was born in 1898, and devotees were going there in the 1980s. So he was like, you know, in his 80s, 83, 84, 85, he lived to about 90 years old, I think. So all the Western devotees at that time, right after 1978, 79, all the GBCs were going there. GBCs and all the godbrothers were trying to get some advice and guidance from him because Prabhupada wanted us. So they were all the leaders you could hear on the tapes in the early days. And then some kind of break happened and then we went our way and he went his way. But in the beginning, you hear everyone there. Tamal's there, Giraj is there, Jayapadaka Swami, everyone is there meeting him and getting guidance. And how to run this society with these 11 gurus and how to manage. And so many disgruntled godbrothers are saying, well, wait a minute, we should also be gurus. There's many, many tension things then. So he was saying at that time that it appears that my Guru Maharaj has actually engaged me in going to the West because all of you, all the Western devotees were coming. Hear from Prabhupada, hear from Sridhar Maharaj in those 78 through 81, 82, like this.